Welcome to Daily Basic. Here you'll find a daily spiritual reflection. It will accompany you through your day, whatever it may bring. As if a king were above the law? Not at all. Nor is a king above what one ought not to do. A king is therefore not above the morals of his people either. He is bound by both. It has always been so. A concrete example is Edwards. Because of his links to Epstein, he has not only facing criminal prosecution, his reputation is also ruined because he did something one simply ought not to do. Morality and the law are intertwined. Violations of the law are punished. Violations of morality are too, namely with contempt. Edwards is currently having to endure both. He will not return. Insight and repentance would be necessary for that. However, both are sorely lacking in him. A king is not above either. This is also applies to the king in Washington, even if he does not want to see it that way. It also applied to the greatest king the people of Israel ever had, David. When God's favor has propelled one up the career ladder, it can go to one's head, and one might think, one is free to do anything disregarding both law and morality, to ensure that neither is trampled underfoot by anyone, not even a king. There are advocates, and these are the prophets. They were the guardians of God's law. In David's case, it was the prophet Nathan. He accompanied David's political career, and one day he had to give him a dressing down. For David had broken the law and violated morality. He had taken another man's wife. This is how it happened. I read from the first book of Samuel, chapter 11. It came to pass that David arose from his bed in the evening and walked about on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman, and it was said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent for her. And when she came to him, he lay with her. But she had just purified herself from her uncleanness. Then she returned home. There you go. This one-night stand had consequences. Bathsheba became pregnant. David had a plan. He summoned Uriah and allowed him to take him leave. By sleeping with his wife, David wanted to prevent him from being regarded as the father. But that was nonsense, of course, because Bathsheba had become pregnant whilst her husband, a foreigner serving in David's army, was fighting at the front. Uriah accepted David's offer but slept outside. That was the custom for men on active duty. For if they were killed, their wives would be widows, but would not have to worry about another child. David found out about this. Now he had no choice but to get rid of Uriah. He gave orders to station him on the front line, which promptly led to his death. David took the pregnant Bathsheba into his harem. David's plan had worked, but it had not gone unnoticed by Nathan. He gave him a stern telling off. His verdict, David shall not die, but the son whom Bathsheba has borne shall die. David could do nothing about it. The second son whom Bathsheba born was named Solomon. He was raised by Nathan and became the third king of Israel after Saul and David. And it was Solomon who had the first temple built in Jerusalem. Although David's guilt had been atoned for by the law, morally it weighed on him for the rest of his life. Even at the end, he said, "I have sinned greatly in doing this, and now, O God, take away the guilt of your servant." 2 Samuel 24:10. That's all for today. See you tomorrow and stay safe.